Hey, everybody. Welcome to Christmas Eve here at Christ Community Chapel. I am really, really glad that you have joined us. Welcome those of you over in East Hall, those of you in the atrium, those of you in the overflow at the conference room and the choir room. If you're stuffed in a closet, I'm really sorry. But there should be a staff member there to help you. I don't know. Anyway, when we gather on Christmas Eve, one of the things that we do as a tradition is I share a few of the Just Because stories. And for those of you who don't know, we have spent the last month as a congregation going around this area and trying to do thousands of acts of kindness and generosity. And each time we do, we hand somebody a card and it says Just Because on it. And on the back, it has some little explanation and then invites whoever's the recipient of the act of kindness to get on the website and share their story. And we've had a bunch of people do it. I hope you get on that website and read them all. And I want to tell you this too. Our staff, we do a Christmas party every year. And we use points off the credit card that the church uses all throughout the year to pay for our Christmas party that we throw for the staff. And this year, the leadership team decided to do something a little bit different. So we just had lunch here. But for the party, really, they divided us all into like 24 teams and sent us each team out with a Just Because card and a $100 bill just to bless people around. And it was a blast to hear where the staff went and what they did and how people responded. And so these are not some of those stories, but these are other stories that have come in. This is Reslyn from Akron. She says, my granddaughter and I were in line at Mark's, and a lady with such a pretty scarf and glasses entered in line behind us. She didn't say anything, but we smiled at each other. I was purchasing two items for Jayla, and as I was handing the money to the cashier, the lady with the pretty scarf handed me a Just Because card, and I didn't read it. I held on to it, and then she said, I got it. I got this. And I then understood what she meant after viewing the card. I said a huge thank you. So to the pretty scarf lady, you made our day. Again, thank you. I just read that because I wanted everyone to be looking for the pretty scarf lady tonight. You see her, thank her. All right, Wayne from Akron. He said, last Saturday I went to Aldi in Montrose for a few groceries when I realized I forgot my wallet. I was instructed to go to the cashier to ring out a suspended order so I could return later. As soon as the cashier rung up the total, the lady in front of me turned around, told me Merry Christmas, swiped her card to pay, and handed me the Just Because card. In 20 years as a born-again Christian, I've never experienced such kindness from a total stranger. I was truly convicted and pledged to pay it forward in a similar manner. That's very cool. All right, this is Julie from Twinsburg. I'm a single mother of three children and have been struggling with finances. I thought I wasn't going to be able to get my children any gifts for Christmas, let alone buy food or pay bills. My wonderful coworker and coworkers left me this card and enough money to be able to provide for my family. I was moved to tears, and once I am able, I will begin paying it forward to someone else. Christmas miracles do exist. Thank you for helping me more than you will ever know. And then finally, this is from Aziza in East Brunswick. He says, I run the office at a small cleaning company. Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. Ha! Mike and Tina from Streetsboro. As a result of disabilities, my wife and I struggle almost every year at Christmas. In spite of having disabilities, both my wife and I work part-time to supplement our income. My wife and I had an argument about the amount of money we could spend on our families prior to finishing our Christmas shopping at Walmart in Streetsboro. I have a disabled daughter, and my mother is suffering from dementia and living out her final days at a local nursing home. I had just picked out a Santa Claus teddy bear from a bin close to checkout. We were then getting ready to check out, and a family approached us and offered to pay for our groceries, including gift cards. My wife almost started crying, and I couldn't believe it was real. I still struggle to believe what happened was real. I woke up this morning, and again I asked my wife, did that really happen yesterday? It still seems like a dream. Wow. Thanks for everybody. So, great stuff. Thanks. Listen, I just want to tell you how much I love you guys and love this church. And that not just that you do stuff like this at Thanksgiving with Thanksgiving baskets or spread kindness and generosity all month of December, but for your giving all year long. You allow our church to do just amazing things both in this area and around the world. And I want you to know that you are having an impact. You are a force of good in a world that desperately needs goodness. All right? So thanks. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let me start with a familiar passage of Scripture. This is from the first chapter of Matthew. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Okay, this is God's word, and it's true, all right? I started a three-week series 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to end on Christmas Eve. And it's a three-week series that's taken from 12 chapters later on in Matthew, where Jesus is grown up, and there are people who are around him who are asking, "Who are you, and what are you about?" And Jesus decides to compare himself to three things, and he says he's greater than each of those three things. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus saying, "You guys know about the temple, and you love all the temple does, but I want you to know something greater than the temple is here." Then last week, we looked at the book of Jonah and how Jesus said, "You guys love the story of Jonah, but I want you to know something greater than Jonah is here." And this, today, here at Christmas Eve, we finish with the last comparison, and it only takes up one verse, and it's verse 42, and this is what it says. Jesus says, "The queen of the south, which is the queen of Sheba, will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Jesus says, something greater than Solomon is here. This could be his boldest statement of the three, at least it seemed like that to the people who were standing around. Because Solomon was known as a man of tremendous wealth, more so than anybody who lives today. And Jesus was standing there with a straight face in his peasant tunic that he bought at Target, and his flip-flop, standing in front of his rented apartment because he didn't own a home, and he was saying to this group of people, something greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was known for three things. All of them start with W. He was known for women. He had 1,000 women. That's no joke. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I didn't say 300 porcupines. I said 300 concubines. If you don't know what a concubine is, you can Google it later, right? So he had 1,000 women, so he's known for women. He was known for wisdom. He was known as the wisest man in the world, which is why the Queen of the South came all that way to listen to his wisdom. He had authored more than 3,000 proverbs. A proverb was like a little nugget of wisdom. He had written over 1,000 songs, which showed his creativity and his imagination. Right, so he's known for women and wisdom and then wealth. Two different sources, First Kings and Second Chronicles, both say that his annual income in gold alone was 50,000 pounds of gold. Every year was paid to him in tribute. That is a little bit shy of $1 billion a year just in gold. Solomon was the guy that every Jewish man would daydream about being. Every Jewish man would be going, "Oh, wouldn't it be something to be Solomon? I wish I was like Solomon. Wouldn't it be amazing that every room you walked into, you were the smartest guy in the room? Wouldn't it be incredible to have more money than you could spend in 100 lifetimes? Oh, I wish I could be Solomon." And Jesus says to them, "So you guys who daydream about being Solomon, I want you to know, something greater than Solomon is here. Of course, the question is, what did Jesus mean? What was he saying? Here's a question for you. What do you want? What do you really want? This is the time of year where people are asking, hey, what do you want for Christmas? When I ask you what you want, I mean, what do you want behind the want? Because there's almost always a want behind the want. For instance, if I asked you, if you were a parent, and I said, what do you want for your kids? You might say, I just want them to get a good education. Well, that's a want, but there's a want behind that, because I would say, well, why? Why do you want them to have a good education? You say, because I want them to get a good job. And that's a want, but there's a want behind that. I could say, why? And you end up just saying, you know what? I just want my kids to be happy. I want their life to be filled with goodness. I want them to have a wonderful life. That's what I want. If all you knew about Solomon was what I just told you, about women and wisdom and wealth, you would think that he had everything he could possibly want, that if anyone got the want behind his wants, it was Solomon. But Solomon wrote 3 books of the Bible. He wrote one about women called the Song of Solomon. He wrote one about wisdom called the Book of Proverbs. And then he wrote one about wealth called Ecclesiastes. But the book of Ecclesiastes is kind of like a personal journal, kind of like a diary. And when you read that, he starts to sound like Mick Jagger singing, I can't get no satisfaction. Because you read Solomon and you realize he seems like he's a man that's got barrels and barrels to drink, but he can't slake his thirst. He has all kinds of wants, but he can't touch the want behind all those wants. In the book of John, in John chapter 8, Jesus says a single sentence. And in that single sentence, he claims to be able to give the want behind every want. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus came telling us 3 truths. The truth about you that you've always suspected, the truth about God that you've always feared, and the truth about Jesus, about himself, that you have scarcely dared to dream. Okay, first, the truth about you that you've always suspected. This is simply this. That you're better on the outside than you are on the inside. That's it. You are better on the outside than you are on the inside, and you know that deep down. Virtually everyone here thinks I'm better than I actually am. And I know some of you are going, you know what? That's not true, because I don't think you're that great, right? And spoiler alert, you're wrong, because I'm worse than you think I am, right? Nobody knows the dirt on me like I know, and nobody knows the dirt on you like you know. And if you're honest with yourself, and this is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, that you can be great on the outside, you can be as nice as can be, but inside, you're a mess. If you're like me, you're more self-centered than anybody else knows. You're more judgmental. You're more critical of other people. There are all kinds of things that go on inside of us, and we portray this outside thing. And Jesus is the one who came saying, you know what? You're better on the outside than you've ever been on the inside. That's the truth about you, and you've known that all along. And then he came to tell us the truth about God that we always feared. And the truth about God that we always feared is this, that God's not some kind of senile grandfather who gives silver dollars to every grandchild, no matter how bratty they are. That the God of the universe is holy and righteous and wildly dangerous. Jesus would say that the God of heaven is the only thing that is good in the entire universe. That the God of heaven is holy and righteous and like a blazing fire. The true God is what you want him to be, what you long for him to be when you're thinking clearly and consistently. That's what Jesus said. But that leaves us in a bad place, those first 2 truths. And that brings us to the truth about Jesus that is better than we've ever dared to dream, and that Jesus came to bridge the gap between a holy God and each one of us who are better on the outside than we are on the inside. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who came to give his life for his sheep. I'm like a physician who came to heal the souls of those who are really sick. I am the one who has been sent to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus was the only one who loved God perfectly and completely and then went to the cross loving us perfectly and completely and brought those two together. And he did it by sacrificing himself, doing for you what you could not do for yourself and living the life that you couldn't live for yourself. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus said that truth is so powerful. The truth about you, the truth about God, the truth about Jesus is so powerful that it has the power to set you free. Free from guilt and shame and fear. And those three things, guilt and shame and fear, have the power to do more misery in your life than almost anything else. If I could do anything, if I could pull those three things out of your soul, if I could pull all the guilt and all the shame and all the fear out of your soul, you would feel like a brand new person. And that's exactly the way Scripture describes it. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So Jesus promises to set us free from guilt and shame and fear, but he also promises to set us free to experience peace and joy and life. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, I give you my peace, not as the world gives, but I give it to you. And that's a peace that's not dependent on circumstances, but on a relationship with somebody who says, I love you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Jesus says, I have come that you might have my joy and that your joy would be complete. That's a really interesting thing to say. How does somebody give you his joy? And the answer, this is the end of the year. It's my last chance to use the Cavaliers in the NBA championship, so I'm going to do it. All right. When the Cavs won the NBA championship, how did you respond? If you're from here, you were filled with joy. You shouted, you screamed, you ran around, and you know what? You didn't do it. You weren't on the team. You didn't play the game. It was what they did, and they gave you their joy, and you were filled. And it was something, it was a joy that wasn't dependent on what you did, but on what they did. That's the joy that Jesus says he gives. A joy that's not dependent on what you do, but a joy dependent on what he has done for you on your behalf. And then Jesus says, I will give you life and give it to you more abundantly, to give you life the way it was intended to be lived. This is the thing. Jesus says he came to hit the want behind all your wants. That's what God has given you. Jesus said, I came to give you truth, truth about yourself that you've always known, truth about God that you feared, but you know is true. And then finally, truth about Jesus that is better than you've ever dared to dream, that Jesus would do this for you. This Christmas, don't settle for the surface want when God has provided you the want behind all your wants, that Jesus came to give you a truth that would set you free. Set you free. Experience that today with Jesus, because there's something greater than Solomon here. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come to you and we are so grateful. We sang the song, Noel, come and see what God has done. The story of amazing love. And it is the greatest story. And so many times I settle for the surface wants instead of looking to you to fill my want behind all my wants. And I pray that every person here will experience you in such a way that they will experience the freedom of being free from guilt and shame and fear and the freedom to experience peace and joy and life. Fill us up. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.